Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All righty, third hour, coming to you live from our Quicken Loans studio, National Mortgage Lender. Quicken Loans apply simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently. Teek and I really enjoyed the conversation with Steven Jackson, and in reading a bunch of tweets that have been pouring in on our Twitter account, at Teek and Tierney, you guys seem to agree. Mm-hmm. That was phenomenal.
Steven's awesome.
That was awesome, dude. Really not what I expected.
Yeah, he's great. I knew he'd be good, but I didn't think he'd be that good.
No, and I don't want that to come out
in the world. Yeah,
you know, he looks, I don't know the guy. Mm-hmm. You know, you've had exchanges, Pro Bowls, conversations. He just seemed so menacing and so mean on a football
especially
field.
With his dreads.
Yeah.
You never that's think. That's what DCL came in here in the break. He's like, that's completely not what I was expecting from him.
Yeah, he did say that. DCL, of course, our engineer, and he runs our video and audio library here, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. He's got all that stuff. He's got a couple of different jobs, right? DCL,
stop churching it up. He's assistant producer.
He's the executive. What is he now?
Assistant producer.
The assistant producer. Have we put that on the business cards? Is that the
yeah? You know, as long as I call the right guest, I'll be the assistant producer.
That is true. Well, listen, when we want to talk about Cam Newton, you want to call David Tepper. You know, let's not mix up the names here. But we need to get David Tepper on the show, all right? Because David Tepper is saying some very interesting things. Who is David Tepper? David Tepper is the Carolina Panthers owner who did not rule out Cam missing all of the 2019 season due to the lingering shoulder injury when, you know, as he missed the end of the season this year. And maybe he's, you know, encouraged by Andrew Luck's return, and maybe that's kind of entering his mindset. That's a pretty, not that he's married to that, but boy, that's a pretty aggressive position.
It is a very
sitting
aggressive position.
Sitting here in the middle of January.
Look, Cam Newton is 29 right now. He's will be 30 at the beginning of next season. He's taken a lot of hits over the course of his career. As you can see, his rushing yards up there, 4,800 rushing yards for a quarterback is a lot. And there's been a conscientious effort by this Carolina Panthers team to build a different type of squad around him. Look at the wide receivers that are now on this team. It's not, you know, the Kelvin Benjamins and the downfield threats, the Ted Ginns. It's not that. It's all crossing route type players. The biggest addition, I think, is Christian McCaffrey because of how easily it is to get him the football, which makes it a lot easier, safer, I should say, for Cam Newton. And so they knew going into this season that he's not a down-the-field thrower any longer.
Wow.
And it really showed it because there were some games where Heinicke, who was the backup, came in and threw the Hail Mary. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And where did we see that? Yeah. So with Andrew Luck.
Mm-hmm. All right,
so
that was against Philly when they did that with Andrew Luck.
You're right. So his shoulder issue is a big deal. Mm. And now shoulders are so unpredictable, BT. There's so much complexity in a shoulder. You have no idea if you do a surgery or if you don't do a surgery, if it's going to heal correctly and what the long-term outcome is going to be. And so their owner is not opposed to sitting out a season, which is just – it just sounds odd to preemptively do that. It's one thing if you have to do it, like Andrew Luck.
Yeah.
It's another to preemptively do it because it feels like it's a soft way to move on from him.
Wow. You think that's what he's thinking?
That's what it feels like. At 30 years old, I mean, you got to sit out. You know what I mean? So it's not like Andrew Luck is almost 30, but he's not. You know, he's not.
And he hasn't taken the hits, even though he got the stuffing beaten out of him for a couple of years early with the Colts. He's had a chance to sit on the sideline.
Yep.
And now they've fortified their front five when Carolina's kind of going the other direction. Just the numbers and then the opinion. So he signed through 2020. Mm-hmm. And if you know, what Tiki suggests is even possibly what they're thinking, the dead cap numbers the next 2 years are not overly punitive. Just so we know that. Let's get that out of the way.
And cap is going
and
up.
And the cap's going up.
Every single year. $12 million is going up next year. I mean, it just keeps going up.
No question.
$12 million and $8 million for the next 2 years. Or no, $8 million and $2 million for the next 2 years.
The shoulder's terrifying. I know that it's not quite the same as baseball.
Mm-hmm.
But, man, when you ask any pitcher, you ask any baseball player, I need Tommy John surgery, there's not a doubt in their minds that they will be back. Possibly better, and they also know based on the time frame of rehab, and that's been accelerated even the last 5, 7, 10 years. You know, back there was a full 18, 20, but now you got guys, especially if you're a position player, you're coming back inside of a year.
Yep.
The shoulder, it's a mess. You just, there's so many things in there, the labrum and everything that connects, the capsule. It's very hard to fix a shoulder, and then. Even if you do fix it, you know, one pop can just reset it back to where it was. Mm-hmm. And if you lose a little velocity, and this is the problem with Cam, and I'm not a big Cam fan. Once the wheels go, and they're not gone yet, but he's not as fast as he once was.
True.
Nor is he as willing.
He is big.
Oh, he's a big boy.
He is physical.
No question, he's a big boy.
He is intimidating.
I understand that. But as he gets, and you said he's going to be 30 during the season coming up. As he moves into age 31 and age 32, 33 season, if the threat of running is diminished, even if it's 15, 20%, and he's got to become or morph into more of a predictable pocket passer, I don't think he can win with Cam.
No, I don't think he can either. That's not his game.
It's not his game.
It never has been his game.
It's going to become his game at age 32. He's going to learn how to reinvent himself, throw the ball. I don't think so.
So when presented with the option of having him sit out a year and coming back in 2 years at 100% or doing whatever he's got to do this offseason, minor surgery, rehab, most likely strengthening, et cetera, and being 80% for this season and maybe for the rest of his career, I think you got to go with that second option. You can't have him sit out.
I agree. I thought you were saying the other thing.
No,
I agree with you. I'll take the chance with the 80%.
And then say, well, maybe he'll be okay.
Yep.
Maybe he'll be 100% in 2 years because you can expect that, but that's not, who knows if that's going to happen.
You can't hold an organization hostage like that. And quite frankly, and I know that this is going to sound maybe too blunt, you know, Cam Newton's not good enough to hold a franchise hostage. I know that if you strip away the smile, if you strip away the Superman when I score, if you strip the yogurt endorsement, whatever, I think he may have even lost. I don't know, but all the things.
He did,
right?
Yeah.
He resonates. His Q rating, although I think it's taken a hit, for a long time it popped. I mean, it was magnificent. And now that that's going away a little bit, when you actually just evaluate what he is as a quarterback, I don't think that you move mountains to keep Cam Newton around. You move mountains to keep Andrew Luck around.
Yeah.
And that's why they would just keep kicking it down the road and not giving us updates and keeping it very nebulous. We don't know what's up with Andrew. We don't know because he's Andrew Luck. You make sure that you exhaust every option before you move on from Andrew Luck. I'm not exhausting. I mean, I'm going to exhaust as many options as humanly possible to save Cam.
Yeah.
But, you know, again, this is going to sound callous. If Cam's not right, I'm prepared to move on if I own the Carolina Panthers.
I don't know if I'm prepared to move on right now, but I'm prepared not to, like, mortgage the future on something that may not actually be beneficial. That is, having him sit out a year, get a surgery, and then come back in 2 years and hope, operative word being hope that he's healthy and good enough to go and be that MVP caliber quarterback that he was a few years ago. Right, and it's hard to have this conversation because he won an MVP.
Yeah,
his team went 15-1 and went to the Super Bowl, and you know he was really good and exciting and engaging. But that season, to be honest with you, feels like an anomaly. Right, it's not the rule; it's the exception of the Carolina Panthers. And I know that they won back-to-back division titles, which is something that's never happened in the NFC South. But the NFC South is an odd division, right? The Bucs are perpetually confused. The Atlanta Falcons have done really good things, and they have an MVP themselves, but their injuries have derailed them, and, I don't know, coaching, you know, instability has been an issue. And with the Saints, as great as Drew Brees was, for a couple of years there,
7-9,
they had the worst defense the history of the National Football League.
That's not hyperbole. That is statistically true.
And so I get it. Yeah, they won the division a couple of times with Cam, but look at the division. You know what I mean? And so I think there's many questions around Cam right now and whether or not he should play right now or get healthy right now. I think for if I'm Cam Newton, I'm focusing on playing right now. It's not about getting healthy for the future. Mm-hmm. I got to be available right now. And whatever that takes to do, I got to do it. And it sucks for him because it's probably truncating the longevity of his career. But I think if you're looking in the context of the Carolina Panthers, it's not going to be long term there anyways.
I never said this because I never really felt the need to say it, but it's hitting me now. Cam Newton is not going to finish his career as a Carolina Panther. Cam Newton is either going to, and I don't mean right now. What are two things are going to happen? Cam Newton is either going to be forced out of football prematurely mm-hmm. because his body can't absorb the punishment anymore because of his taxing, tough physical style for a position that you really shouldn't be taxing and tough and physical in. You want to preserve your body.
Yep.
So it's either going to end prematurely because he's forced out of the game because his body is not resilient enough to keep doing it, or Carolina decides to move on. I just don't see him as a 15-year Panther.
Yeah.
I don't see it.
It's hard to see that. And he's done really well. It's
not yes, like... he has. I'm not trying to change the past. I mean, he's done some great things. But you also mentioned the Super Bowl and the Super Bowl season when he won the MVP. What's transpired since then? Fumble during the Super Bowl. Didn't go and get it. Okay. Then post-game, he acted like a petulant 9-year-old. You know, I go back and forth with Cam. I'm just not a big, big fan.
Yeah.
I don't trust him. In the moment of, and has nothing to do with toughness or even intelligence, I just feel like, I just don't think he's refined enough as a quarterback.
Well, he's not consistent. That's hard. When you have your guy, the guy who touches the ball every play, who has to be consistent for you to be consistently good, is not consistent, then you get what you get with the Carolina Panthers.
And he's also not consistent emotionally.
You're right.
Quarterbacks need to be like this. Look, Drew Brees, they never waver from their emotions.
It's something that he's always had to work on.
Yeah.
Always.
Yeah.
And I think he fights it because he wants to be different.
He's almost like a position player playing quarterback.
Yeah, well, he wants to be different. He wants to be emotional. He wants to be that lift in the locker room or for his team. But then those highs are sometimes equally matched by this dourness.
Well said. That's the problem.
It brings everybody down. Like
that's
when he gets in that point, when he gets like that, everybody goes down with him.
You can feel it. He can.
But when he gets up,
yep.
Everybody goes up with him.
Yeah, that's true. That locker room could probably scrape up a planet when he's floating.
Yeah.
And conversely, when he walks in, he's got that dour is a great word. He's emotionally, he's like watching a tennis match
mm-hmm.
because. Emotionally, you do get
yeah.
you get ding. You're just watching a dip, you're watching the emotions flip very quickly. All right, Teague, I got this for you real fast. You ready? Over the next 3 years, mm-hmm. let me pick a few interesting quarterbacks. Then we'll break. We got Chris Broussard coming up. Finish up with some hoops. Next 3 years, not five. Next three. Dak or Cam? Who are you taking? Next 3 years.
Next 3 years. God, I'd probably say Cam.
Okay. Next 3 years, Trubisky or Cam?
Honestly, I'd probably say Cam.
Next 3 years, Lamar Jackson or Cam?
Definitely Cam.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Next 3 years, Baker Mayfield or Cam?
Baker.
Next 3 years, Sam Darnold or Cam?
Sam.
Attaboy. Next 3 years,
beat these Jets' sake.
Matt Ryan or Cam? I think I'd still take Matt Ryan. Fix the defense.
Yeah.
I'd still probably say Matt Ryan.
Yeah, I think I probably would.
Am I missing an interest? I'm staying away from the old guys.
But 3 years. I mean, that's
just 3 years.
That's the thing. If it
3 years.
If it was 6 years, easily Matt Ryan.
Yeah, but you can't work in those intervals
in the
game of the NFL.
Agreed.
Am I missing an interesting one, guys? Somebody who's obviously not at the end of the road and somebody who's sung so young that you don't really know about, even though Darnold's
This is
young,
tough because we haven't seen a lot of him with his knee injury, but Garoppolo...
Yeah, he's
boy. I can't even give you an intelligent guess on that. Who the hell knows what he is?
Because he didn't even look good.
He didn't as
the starter.
He didn't look that good.
Right
now, he looked good when he came in at the start of the previous season.
Yeah, exactly.
Looked very good. He didn't look that good at the start.
Camp was weird this year for him. Remember, there was a lot of I don't know, just weird things going on in training camp, and he had hurt.
I got a good one for you. Carson Wentz or Cam? Carson gets hurt a lot.
Cam. I'm going Cam.
What about you guys? Cam as well.
I said Cam right away. Yeah.
Mike?
Just because of injuries. If I can see one fully 16-game healthy season by Wentz again, Because when he, like, I mean, last year he was ridiculous before he went.
Yes, he was. He's the MVP.
And it was an acute injury. Like, he tears his ACL. It's an acute injury. Now, now you're getting these wear injuries.
I know.
You know what I mean?
I know.
Like, it's back.
One was blunt trauma force. Now the others are like maybe the residue from other injuries, which is, that's disconcerting.
Agreed.
You know, not that you ever want to see a star player get popped, but like the LeBron thing, and I said this when we opened the show with the NBA, you know, if LeBron took an elbow and it fractured his orbital bone, okay, that happens. It's the NBA. I feel a little bit better about that than a 34-year-old, 35-year-old, you know, all-world superstar playing 40 minutes a night who just pulled his groin and we haven't seen since Christmas.
You're right.
The soft tissue, so... A lot of stuff going on with the Panthers, and we will follow this story, no doubt, here on Tiki and Tierney. All right, Chris Broussard, Fox Sports NBA analyst. We'll get back. We'll start the show with hoops. We'll finish it with hoops. Coming up next, Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio.
When you're on the field, it's all about the right timing, knowing when to plan the play and knowing when to make the play. It's what all the great coaches who know how to get what they want are doing on the sidelines, making a plan and executing it when the time is right. O'Reilly Auto Parts has a similar philosophy. When you need a part but you're not in a position to go pick it up, you can just order the parts you need at O'ReillyAuto.com. Then pick them up at any of their 5,000 stores nationwide when you're ready to go. No shipping costs, returns are always easy, and you can pick them up when it's convenient for you. You know that what you want will be there when you get there, so it saves you time in the store. The shopping game begins when you say it begins and ends when you get what you want at O'Reilly Auto Parts. It's like you've won before you even head out the door. Make the smart play and shop your way for the parts you need at O'ReillyAuto.com. That's O'ReillyAuto.com. Better parts, better prices, every day.
All righty, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 1-855-212-4227, brought to you by GEICO. Great news, quick way to save money, switch to GEICO. Just go to GEICO.com and in 15 minutes, save 15% or more on car insurance. Just a heads up, TV's going to bounce a little bit early, so probably about... 5.5, 6 minutes from now, coming up next here on CBS Sports Network, Inside College Basketball. We're obviously right in the middle of the season, so it's all good. So Teak is out tomorrow. Jerry Ferrar is going to be back in, filling in for Teak for a couple of hours. So the TV will just pick it up tomorrow, full slot, usual 3 hours, rather than say goodbye during the interview, which we're going to get into now. We'll just say goodbye a couple of minutes early and enjoy, stick around and watch the Hoop Show, of course, as they set you up for the night in basketball. Speaking of basketball, I like our next guest. I really do. And by the way, I listen to his radio show probably more than he knows because I'm driving around, you know, going to Queens, doing St. John's stuff. The Odd Couple, I've known Rob Parker for years. Chris Broussard, they do a show together every night. I think they're funny. I think Parker's a little wacky and it works well. And, of course, Chris, Fox Sports NBA analyst on the TV side. And Chris is with us here on Tiki and Tierney. What's up, Chris? How you doing today?
I'm great, Brandon. How you doing, man? How you doing, Tiki?
I am all
great
good.
To be on.
Yeah, man. Good to have you. I mean that. I like what you and Rob are doing.
Yep.
You guys
Thank
launched.
You. I appreciate it.
You're welcome, man. That's fairly recent, right? That's pretty new.
Right. We started in September.
Nice.
And
nice.
You're right. You know, Rob is so zany with his takes that he makes for a really nice contrast.
It's a great contrast. Because
you keep him on planet Earth, right?
Well, he tries to.
I try.
Parker's going to eventually orbit wherever he wants, but Chris tries. All right, listen, Chris, I said something to start the show today. I said, I believe that the next 3 weeks will ultimately determine the next 3 years of the Lakers, okay? Trade deadline's coming up, you know, early February, just about 22 days before that goes down. I don't know if they've made their decision. I've made it for them. I think Ingram's too soft. I don't love Lonzo Ball's motor. If I'm them, I'm moving on. What are the Lakers thinking right now, trying to, you know, simultaneously, as they get LeBron back, maybe make a big trade? Is Luke Walton the guy? What are the Lakers thinking, Ryan? It's a mess, it seems.
Yeah, look, they would love to make a trade by the deadline that would put them in title contention, but it really isn't out there. I mean, obviously the name is Anthony Davis, but if I'm New Orleans, there is no way I'm trading him this season. First of all, the team that can make me the best offer, Boston, can't even trade for him until the summer.
Yeah.
So if I'm New Orleans and I recognize, look, he wants to leave, I have to move on, I'm at least waiting until Boston can make me an offer. So I don't see them making any move like that. And I don't think Anthony Davis will demand a trade. I think what will happen with him is New Orleans will offer him the Supermax this summer, and once he rejects it, then they'll realize, okay, he's not staying here long term. We're going to have to move on. And then the Lakers, the Celtics, and keep an eye on the Knicks. Those are the teams I think that will be at the top of his wish list, if you will. So the Lakers don't want to give up the assets that they would have to use to get Davis, Ingram, Ball, Kuzma, Josh Hart, all these young kids. They don't want to give them up to get, say, Bradley Beal or any, you know, anybody else. Now, I'm going to throw this out there, and this is not from talking to sources or anything like that. But keep an eye on this, because Philadelphia, you know, Jimmy Butler, as great of a player as he is, he's making, you know, he's doing the same thing he did in Chicago and Minnesota, which is rubbing people the wrong way, whether it's players, coaches, people in the front office, whatever it may be. Mm. And if they decide they don't want to sign him long term because of the impact on the young stars, Simmons and Embiid, then they may look to trade him before the deadline. And I think with LeBron James as the leader of that team, I actually think the Lakers would be able to handle Butler. And LeBron's never been afraid of, you know, interesting personalities, if you will, J.R. Yep. Smith, Lance Stephenson, so on and so forth. So that may be a long shot, but this is just something to keep an eye on.
It's interesting.
I honestly, other than something like that, I don't see them being able to make a major move just because they want to wait to try to get Anthony Davis in the summer or next season.
That's really strong stuff on the Butler stuff, on the Butler situation. Not to get too sidetracked on Butler, because I wanted to focus more on LeBron, but I want to ask you, like, it would terrify me, Chris. First of all, he's not a kid. He's 30 years old, and I know he's in great. He looks like he's going to be able to play until his late 30s or at least mid 30s. But if Jimmy Butler acts like this when he hasn't gotten the extension, what kind of reckless behavior will he exhibit when he has those extra zeros on his contract?
You're exactly right. You are exactly right. And that has to be what scares Philadelphia. And, you know, the thing about – but look, if he was coming with two or three championships, you'd put up with it.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't win in Chicago. He didn't win in Minnesota, where obviously they had talent. And, I mean, now Philadelphia's playing well with him. I will give them that. But then I don't think they're going to win the Eastern Conference with him, at least not this year. So, yeah, it's – look, the Clippers, I think they're going to end up getting Kawhi Leonard. Here's the ideal situation for the Lakers, because you brought them up first.
Mm-hmm.
The ideal situation is that in the summer, Kawhi Leonard would leave Toronto and go to the Lakers, and you could keep Kyle Kuzma and the rest of the young kids. And then, you know, maybe you trade Ingram and Ball for something else down the road. But I think that Kawhi is going to go to the Clippers.
Mm.
I really believe that.
Really?
I think he's – look, Toronto, they have a chance to get to the finals. They're actually my pick in the East. But everything I'm still hearing, and this gates back to even when he was in San Antonio, is that he just wants to be in L.A. And, you know, Toronto, obviously, is a great city. They're a great team. But, you know, it's nothing like L.A. weather-wise.
No.
And, you know, it's a long – and you're out of America. I mean, just keeping it real. It's a different country. So – he got a challenge in keeping guys, so I do think he's going to go to the Clippers rather than the Lakers.
Man, that's Broussard dropping some strong stuff. No surprise. Chris Broussard, of course, with us here. Fox Sports NBA analyst, does the radio show. The Odd Couple every night is with us here on TKNT.
Hey, Chris, let's move to the East Coast, and you mentioned the Boston Celtics, and it feels like there's some discord going on. It doesn't seem egregiously bad, but there's something just not quite fitting the puzzle quite right. You know what I mean? So what's ultimately going to happen there? I know this it really is on Brad Stevens to get it under control and then get those guys happy, but what happens there?
Well, it's interesting because isn't Kyrie starting to sound like LeBron? Mm-hmm. Young kids don't have experience. Just the same thing LeBron was telling him 3 years ago, but I'm telling you, and I haven't talked to any of the players yet, but those players in that locker room have got to be feeling like, as Kyrie says stuff like that, hey, guy, we were one game away from the finals without you last year. We played better without you. And I knew this was going to be an issue because, look, they were a bunch of role players and young guys, young budding stars, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown last year. Nobody was thinking about shots. They were all about proving themselves, and they bought the ball movement was great, and everybody was in harmony. Now you put in two all-stars, Kyrie and Gordon Hayward, and it's an entirely different mix, not to mention that Tatum now is thinking, instead of coming in like he did last year, like, hey, I just want to show that I can play at this level, I'll do whatever it takes, he's probably coming in thinking, I could be an all-star this year. You know, and so they're not moving the ball like they used to. There's a lot more isolation. And Brad Stevens, who has been anointed as the golden child, and he is a very good coach. He's a very good coach. But there are coaches in this league. There's different types. There are those that maximize average talent, and you just rave because, wow, they got 49 wins out of that group or something like that.
And like, Chris, who's somebody like that, like a Rick Carlisle type, or who would
fit? No, Carlisle can handle stars.
Okay.
I'll say right now, and we don't know if he can handle stars, but Kenny Atkinson in Brooklyn.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm.
You know.
Gotcha.
Like, but some of these coaches, if you give them a bunch of talent, and I'll even throw in Thibodeau, who I love. But remember in Chicago when he had his best success, he had one star, D. Rose, and everything was built around him. Bunch of role players, Noah, Luau, Dang, Carlos, guys who just wanted to do what their job was, and Tibbs made it work. But he got some real talent in Minnesota, like three guys that could be all-stars, and it didn't work. So there are guys that can maximize minimal talent, but when they get a lot of talent, they don't make the most of it. And then, of course, there are guys that are the opposite, and then there are those that do both. We'll have to see what Brad Stevens is. And look at his history. At Butler, you're not getting the blue-chip recruits at Butler.
Nope.
You're not getting the guys with the huge egos that are one and done and so on and so forth. And when he first got to Boston, you didn't have players like that. This is the first year where he's really got a Kyrie Irving, who's a perennial all-star, a Gordon Hayward who used to be an all-star, you know, and then you got these young guys like Tatum coming up, Jaylen Brown, who probably think that the all-star games are in their future. So Stevens has to manage these egos. He played Division III. You know, he hasn't really been around that big, big, big time basketball where you got these egos and all of that you have to manage. So they're not like they're falling off the map.
I got you.
But this is a real challenge for him to see how he can handle this.
No, listen, let me
finally say this.
Yeah.
In the NBA, you don't want 11 guys where 9 of them are basically at the same level, because then you can only play 8 or 9.
Yeah.
And so now you got guys, instead of getting their 25 minutes, they're getting 15. Instead of getting their 30, they're getting 22. And they're not happy, and it causes problems. You really want a decisive 8 or 9-man rotation. And when you have more talent than that, it really gets tough. And I think that's something else Boston's dealing with.
Chris, give me 30 seconds, but we got to make it 30. Otherwise, we'd like to have more, but we're up against it. I bookmarked an article. I haven't read it yet. I'm going to get into it tonight. Basically, the premise was, is Luka Doncic having a better rookie season than LeBron James? And stay away from the stats, or but can you put his first 40 games? Can you, in your summation, who is he now? And maybe more importantly, what is he going to morph into, Luka Doncic?
I'm telling you, first of all, it's very comparable to what LeBron did, and so I don't think that's out of bounds. They both were 19 or about the same age.
Mm-hmm.
And it might sound crazy to some. He looks to me like a new age version of Larry Bird.
Wow.
Not saying he's going to be Larry Bird.
I got
Bird's
you.
One of the top 10 players ever.
Uh-huh.
But if he's close, right? And I mean, he is balling. He's doing everything. He's the leader of that team, clearly. He's a winner. They won, 24 games, 26 games, something like that last year. They already got 20. You know, like they got a crazy record at home, like 16-4, I think, at home. This kid is the truth. And, I don't hesitate to say that. He reminds me of a Larry Bird because he's got all the skills, you know?
Yeah.
That's amazing. I have not heard that one before.
That's a unique comparison.
Wow.
And if he's close to it, I mean, he's going to be ridiculous.
Right.
Wow. All right, Chris, you delivered, man. Fox Sports NBA analyst and the Odd Couple every night on Fox Sports Radio with my man, Rob Parker. Chris, great job, buddy. Really good stuff today. Thank you.
Hey, anytime you guys need me.
Appreciate
you,
Chris.
Good
chatting with you, man.
Chris Broussard, Larry Bird.
I can see it. I mean, I think his outside shot's got to get a little better.
Yeah, but Larry's one of the best shooters of all time. But
still.
Larry could rebound.
He's a creator,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, that's good. Larry had great vision.
Yep.
Luka's got a better handle, but Larry can pass. That's, I gotta really chew on that a little bit deeper. That's not heard that before. Let's get the update from Mac. Here's Rich. All right, time to answer our Ask the Pros question of the day here on Tiki and Tierney. A couple of good interviews today. Broussard was money, dropping some nuggets on Kawhi and the Clippers, and good stuff on Brad Stevens about never having really been with a star
that
coaching.
Makes sense.
That makes great sense. So that was really good, and Steven Jackson was terrific. But Tiki, let's answer this. So it's brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts, and we actually, you know, somebody, I guess there were a few people were inspired by our little, so-and-so or Cam. So we got a bunch of tweets, and we'll just roll through these fast. Aaron Crow at Aaron Crow. Kirk Cousins or Cam? Go. Who you got, Kirk or Cam?
Cam.
Me too. Deion Soskin at Deion Soskin says Jameis or Cam. Mm. Now keep in mind, now it's Jameis with Bruce Arians.
I'm going to say Jameis.
I would probably agree with that, but I don't say that with great confidence.
I don't either. I don't either.
You know? And Zach at Zach, and then what looks to be his phone number, and nobody really cares. Nick Foles or Cam next year?
Cam.
Yeah, I would agree with that, too. Let's not get crazy with the Foles stuff.
I love Nick Foles' story.
Yeah, we do.
Don't know if I want him as my quarterback.
I hear you. I hear you, Teak. All right, good stuff. And, of course, that is our Ask the Pros question of the day, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts here on Teak and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM 206. So, Manny Machado, I mean, what is going on with this? Manny Machado, it's been all over the map.
Yeah.
You know, first, there was one point, and I guess I remember saying this 5 years ago now, that Bryce Harper's contract would absolutely start with a 4.
Yep.
It won't.
Yeah. Will it be a 3?
Yeah, Bryce Harper, it will be. I still believe it will be.
I mean, the White Sox...
Go ahead, Teak.
...offered Manny Machado. Now, Manny is... When we were talking about Bryce Harper at 4, it was Manny at maybe high 2s, low 3s.
We didn't really talk about Manny quite
But it was a longer contract. You know, it was a 10-year deal, whatever.
Okay.
You know, maybe 280, whatever.
It's funny, I don't remember ever really calculating what I thought Machado would get.
Hmm.
It was more like Harper, because his dad was a Mickey Mantle fan, and Yankees, but if you're thinking
Harper's going to get 400, you're thinking Manny Machado, who's a damn good player,
yes,
is going to get, you know, $100 million less, right? Around.
Remember, he ripped up his knee, though.
True, so but he seemed to be healthy back in Los Angeles last year. So Manny Machado right now has a 7-year, $175 million offer.
That's on the table.
That's the only one.
Yep.
It's been there for 2 weeks.
Uh-huh.
So if the market is that depressed, is it safe to think that Bryce Harper might only get, you know, 290, 300?
You know what, Teak? It's funny.
I know
what you're saying. And as you started to set that up, I was already scoffing. I'm like, no. I mean, now that I think about it, pragmatically, just based on the direction of the contract, you might be right.
Because who's bidding?
Why would you outbid yourself by $100 million?
Exactly.
No, you might be onto something here. Let's see. All right, so sources told Buster Olney, love Buster, good guy, of ESPN, that the White Sox have a 7-year, $175 million offer on the table for Machado.
No.
This comes 3 days after other sources told ESPN's Jeff Passan that the White Sox had offered Machado an 8-year deal. Now, keep in mind, the reason I bring up the timeline going back to 5 years ago when we thought that Harper might get something starting with a 4.
Yeah. It was a big deal. It was a long deal.
Oh, yeah. But also, as recently as, I guess, about a week or so ago, didn't the news come out that the White Sox had an organizational edict that they would not go, you know, anything more than 7 years? Now you've had conflicting reports that, you know, and both of these guys are great at their job. But when Jeff Passan says that they offered an 8-year deal or they have an offer for 8 years, I mean, Jeff Passan's pretty good.
Yeah.
So I'd have to think he's got that on some good authority. He's very good on some high authority. And we've had him on the show on some authority here.
Maybe GMs in baseball in general is just starting to say these 10-year deals aren't working out. Right, they never see the end of it. we don't necessarily get the benefit, because the reason you do that is so you get these milestones. They're milestone contracts, right? So when he hits whatever the number is, requisite number of home runs or whatever it may be, he's on your squad. You use that to market it, fan bases, buy memorabilia, everything else. Like, it becomes a milestone deal as much as it is, this guy is great and he's going to increase our bottom line. But when you start saying, looking at the history of these big 10-year deals and saying, it didn't really work out for the Cardinals. Didn't really work out for the Texas Rangers.
You mean the Angels for
Bulls. I mean the Angels, yeah.
Uh-huh.
I mean,
I got you. You know what I mean. I got, look, Cardinals made the right decision.
Yeah, exactly. Didn't work out for the Angels. Didn't really work out for the Texas Rangers as well. You know, didn't really work out for the Miami Marlins, given these huge contracts. We're only going to offer 7, mm-hmm. maybe 8 if you're mm-hmm. lucky. Which then, by necessity, pulls down from $400 million. It can't be $400 million, right? No, but you're not giving Bryce Harper a 7-year, $300 million deal. That's $43 million a year.
I know.
You know what I mean?
I know.
So, I mean, I think the number's going to be a lot lower than he expected. And then
somebody's going to – now, somebody's still going to jump
in. But, no, there's three guys. Well, there's three teams.
The Yankees are
chilling. The Yankees aren't doing that, man.
Yankees are waiting to make sure that this is the number.
But you just said it, BT. Why outbid yourself?
Well, no, there's – true. But you get to a point for certain organizations, and there's probably 5 of them, and we all know who they are, that – it would be irresponsible not to pounce on a superstar on 80 cents on the dollar.
Yeah, but you have a bunch already.
I understand. You do, and you're going to have to pay them a couple uh-huh. years down the road. Like Aaron Judge, I believe, is
making bupkis.
Yeah, he's not a free agent until, I believe, 2021 is when mm-hmm. he's eligible for free. I mean, it's definitely a couple of years. Even Severino is like 2022, maybe even 2023. Their young players are not going to get paid for a while, but, I mean, you know. Here's the one difference, and you think about, well, Miguel Cabrera. Mike, how old was Miggy Cabrera? 32? How old was he when he signed?
Miggy was 33 when he got his deal. Pujols was 32, and a lot of that has to do with, if you think about it, all the steroid era. You got guys like Bonds and Clemens uh-huh. dominating into their 40s, right? So everyone was like, oh, well, if I get Pujols 10 years at 32 years old, he's going to be dominating for the next 8 or 9.
Yeah, but it's
without
also,
realizing what was also, causing all this.
It's
all
also
this
those milestones. Peaks. They're milestone contracts. Like,
yeah.
So they put.
But it 10 plus, years, 100 whatever million for Pujols at 32
but if
is,
they hit a certain number while they're still on the roster, it's a big deal for the organization. I only know this because they talked about this with CeCe, right? It's one of the reasons that CeCe stayed with the Yankees because he's going to hit a couple of milestones. And it's mm-hmm. a big deal,
mm-hmm.
right? For the not only for CeCe, but it's a big deal for the Yankees.
Yeah.
Right? And so
they can monetize that for
right?
sure. It's, no doubt
it,
about it.
It was part of the reason they got A-Rod.
Well, remember,
right?
A-Rod had those escalators and of course,
exactly.
they got rid of him because he got pinched a
exactly.
couple times. But
they didn't want him to get those escalators on the team.
Yeah. Every time he jumped over somebody on the home run list, I forget, maybe it was 6 million. I forget what the exact amount was, but there was financial benchmarks that acknowledged those statistical accomplishments. The one difference, though, and you do have, well, there's a couple of differences. Number one, both Harper and Machado are younger. That's uh-huh. the obvious
yes.
difference.
Yes.
The other difference is body type. Look at Albert Pujols and look at Miguel Cabrera.
Mm-hmm.
What do they have in common? They're both flat-footed.
Uh-huh.
They're both heavy-footed.
Yep.
And they have very thick trunks.
Yep.
And those don't age well.
Yep.
And you know that better than me as a runner.
Mm, you're right.
Look at Bryce Harper and look at Machado. They're bouncier. There's a different...
Yeah, there's an
athleticism. Yes.
That's going to stay.
That's going to remain. So I'm not saying I'm signing off for 10 years. You don't have to. But would I give Machado, well, I'm just not as big a Machado fan as some. Would I give Bryce Harper 8 years? I would absolutely give Bryce Harper 8 years. I might even give him 9 years.
Yeah.
I mean, I really might because power is going to always play unless you have a debilitating injury and you get it back from insurance like
yeah.
David Wright.
Giancarlo Stanton was 26. When he got his long
325 million bucks.
13 years? 325.
Which the Marlins are paying the Yankees $30 million of. See, here's what's complicated the market. If the Yankees didn't acquire Stanton last year,
yeah.
Bryce Harper would already be the highest paid player
right.
in baseball.
You're right.
They might actually go for both of them.
He'd be a Yankee.
He'd be a Yankee.
You're right.
But because the Yankees have Aaron Judge, who is a 50 home run a year beast and their unquestioned leader.
Did Derek Jeter a favor?
Did the Yankees a real favor? Did him a solid. And you've got Stanton, and there's only so many DH spots where you can wiggle and manipulate the DH spot in terms of at-bats. The Yankees, for the most part, are out of these, you know, at least they're doing their due diligence.
Yeah.
And if this stays at 175, or I could see them tacking on $30 million and going to get Machado and or Harper. But the Yankees aren't actively playing poker because they can't.
Yeah.
Because they've got too many outfielders.
Right.
So it's complicated, this, but I got to tell, I am stunned. It's almost it's the middle of January, and he's got $175 million offer on the table, and that's it? From the White Sox?
And we've heard nothing other than the initial, what was the deal from the Nats? $300 million from the Nats.
$300 million
which
for Bryce Harper.
Which he turned down.
Yes,
which
actually during the season.
Which actually might be the high watermark for him.
Yeah, but now if I'm the Nationals, I'm going to say, well, you know what? All right, Machado signed for $212 million. 300's off the table, we'll give you 260.
Yeah.
I mean, he probably, imagine if he goes back, this would never happen because the players' union wouldn't allow. Imagine if he signs up with the Nats again for less than what they originally offered. You want to talk about backwards business?
Yeah.
They got to save some face here. Both of these agencies.
I could actually see that issue coming to the fore. Absolutely.
But then he'll go somewhere else.
I know, but I can see that happening.
It might. Wow. We will see you tomorrow. Peace.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.